Welcome back, everyone, to this 32nd episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby.
Hiya.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay.
I asked that about our topic.
I know, like we never talk.
I know, like I don't ask you all day, every day. yeah, our topic today is the new race. It's not a playable race, but it's a race called the Codan. Is that how you pronounce it?
Sure.
Codan
works for me. I haven't heard anyone say it out loud, so I don't know.
So we just set the precedent right now.
It's okay, Codan. What do we want to set? Codan?
Yeah.
All right, that's what it is.
You hear that, ArenaNet?
Yeah, they're going, excuse me.
They're like, actually, it's Codan.
But whatever, with a couple of umlauts and a little carrot on top.
Yeah. Yeah, so this new race is, like I said, not playable, but it is pretty important to the storyline and the lore, especially in the Norn side. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, because they have quite a big write-up on it. And then, of course, we're going to read emails at the end. We have about six or seven that are pretty good. And then we'll talk about the roundtable, the next roundtable, what we want to do for that, and how to contact me and what to do if you want to be on that show. So, great show, huh?
I'm excited. I always am. There's always something cool to talk about.
Yeah, that's very true. Speaking of which, what have you been up to in Guild Wars this week?
Oh, my gosh. Well, right now I'm going to be up to apologizing to the Guild Wars community.
Oh, yeah, the live stream.
This was probably the least fun evening I've had in a very long time. If you were watching the Guild Wars live stream, and actually, let me back up. If you don't know, we have massively has a Guild Wars guild that has, we're at like 98 members. We hover right at the cap. So it's a really active guild, and it's a lot of fun. And we started live streaming on our Thursday night get-togethers, and it's not, we're working through the all three campaigns in the expansion. We're working through them as a group. So last night was the Convocation primary quest and factions, Boreas Seabed, and then we were going to see where we stood and see if we had enough time to keep going. And we've always live streamed this, and then we record it, and I put it up on Massively's live stream channel for on-demand viewing if you missed it. So last night we're all ready to go, but Procaster, which is the program that we use to do our live streams through the site, Procaster had an update that, I don't know, something went horribly wrong. The update was not compatible with something, and I haven't figured out. Today is actually the day for a complete uninstall and reinstall. but something went very wrong, and Procaster would not acknowledge Guild Wars. It wouldn't record. Now, the fun thing in all of this is that ArenaNet put the live stream on their Twitter and Facebook. I asked them if they would do that, and they were very, very kind and did so. So we had literally almost 250 people sitting there waiting, and I had nothing.
Ouch.
So we would start the live, and actually what's really awful, I mean, all of these couple hundred plus people showed up, and they're expecting Guild Wars. So I've got a laptop sitting here, and I'm in the chat channel going, hey, guys, you know, we're going to start in just a couple minutes. Thanks for showing up. I hit the button to start the stream, and everybody watching sees a black screen. It goes, that's it, just a black screen. No sound, no image, because normally we have what's called autopilot, and it just shows basically reruns. Mm-hmm. So what happened, they were looking at, and you know, it was some little free-to-play game, which was probably a good game, but unfamiliar to these people who were here for Guild Wars. So every time I hit the button to go live, it would cause the black screen, I would stop, and the autopilot would reset to the beginning of that game, of that pre-recorded game. So not only are they not getting this, every time I hit live, they get to see the same game over and over, the same little segment.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. So it all went to pieces. We spent 45 minutes trying to fix it, and in the end had to say, sorry, guys, it's not working.
Yeah.
So if you watch it, that was a very long story to explain how much fun it was not. so if you were watching, I am really, really sorry. We're going to be back up and running next week because I'm going to have a giant fight with Livestream today. And
yeah, we've actually been in contact with them before about problems we've had. I mean, it's just been... some of their technical issues are ridiculous. But what really sucks about it is it reflects directly on Massively. You know, it's usually in the chat room, people are like, oh, Massively fail. Oh, you guys fail, you know. And it's, I mean, which is understandable. They think, like, we're doing something wrong. But it's, like you said, it was an update last night on live stream. Just really bad timing.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So now I have to say the group that my in-game group that joined me, and you know, they play through the mission with me and they're on the live stream. Three of them, they were awesome. I think it was three of them got live stream set up real quick and Procaster on their own computers to try to see if they could get the live stream going so we'd have something.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them could get it to work either.
Yeah. So it was definitely a live stream thing.
It was not cool. So yeah, I'm very, very sorry if you were watching. Of course, every other week it's gone perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well.
So, I'm very sorry. But in the end, we finally gave up. I just threw my hands in the air and I was like, guys, I'm really sorry. It's not going to happen. And then we went and played Factions, and that was pretty fun. But it was an interesting night.
Well, hopefully we get all that stuff worked out, you know, and we can start doing the streaming more. Because, I mean, you do Guild Wars every week, right?
Yeah, we've been doing that for quite a while, and it's kind of a big hit, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it being back up and running next week. So, what about you? You've had to have had better stuff than I did.
Well, I haven't been playing Guild Wars, but I know. I blame Warm Online now.
I'm okay with that.
But that's about it, though. I mean, it's been Warm Online, and you know, nothing really Guild Wars related. I hate to say. I know it's like people are listening to this going, why is he doing a Guild Wars podcast if he doesn't play Guild Wars?
Sometimes. But you still do. It's just sometimes another game will completely eat you. And in this case, the cool thing about Worm Online, and I think you and I have both talked about this, is that we can play Worm Online while we're working.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I'll have it on one screen doing like a crafting queue and clicking away at, you know, chopping down a tree or something like that, and then I'll, in the other screen I'll be editing a post or a podcast or something like that. Yeah, it always works out well like that.
Yeah, it gets our little crafting bug taken care of.
Yep.
Yeah, so. But yeah, Worm Online is, we've both been having a very, very good time with Worm Online.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I love it.
So, Guild Wars news. Yes, we have the Coden. Now, you wrote, they came out with this just a few days ago on the 11th, and then you wrote an article about it, kind of explaining it and giving your own thoughts and how you hope it ties into the lore. So you want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, the Coden, let's just do a really quick overview of the Coden. They are actual, well, they call them bear men. They're actually 10-foot-tall bipedal polar bears. And we've seen some of the art before. It's very, very cool. But rather, as opposed to the Norn, who just become the bear, but they've got their human-like form, these guys, they're the bear all the time, and they view this as an advantage. The Norn, in their eyes, have this weak human-like form because they are basically not as good. And they view, I guess it's Coda, is the entity that gave them this bear form. Mm-hmm. And they view themselves as the spiritual, I hate to say the spiritual leaders of the whole world, but that's essentially, I feel like I could phrase that better, but that's essentially what they view. Everybody else is a lesser race.
So wait, they're Asura?
You know, I kind of, it brought to mind the Crusades to me.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because they will convince you that they are right by force if necessary.
Hmm.
So it's, and that's the very, very short version. They had some cool things to say, like their sanctuaries, which is, they described them as floating iceberg fortresses. And that's where each tribe lives on one, and that's where it, just these huge ice peaks, and their entire cities built on these things, and they just float around, and that's their home.
Wow,
which is so cool to me.
I hope Guild Wars 2 comes out in warm months, because I want to play a Norn, and if it comes out in the winter, I'll have to wait to play a Norn because I just, you know, I could go outside for the ice and snow.
Yeah, you need to hang out with a Silvari.
Yes. Oh yeah.
So, but this, their belief system is what was very, very interesting to me. First of all, because I see some flaws in their logic. And because what they said here, that Coda, the founder, went to the actual bears, you know, just regular bears, and said, if you want to, basically, if you're ready to advance to a better existence, and you will watch and learn and protect and guide the spirits of this world, I will make you one of the Coden. And it says those who were not ready and did not wish to change remained as bears. And to a point, they view the Norn as failed Coden. And there's this flaw, to me, there's this flaw in their logic, because if they're failed Coden, wouldn't they become bears again?
That's true. Yeah.
So that's, and they've got this, let's see, it is their duty to watch over the world, judge others, and maintain the balance by force if necessary. But then one of the Coden voice, who is like their spiritual leader, says, no race weaves the thread of life. We are all strands in it, seeds upon the earth, inheritors of nature's balance. But their basic spiritual tenets kind of contradict that. Because they view themselves as above everybody, and they are, you know, they're the bosses.
Yeah. I think one thing you pointed out in your story, which I thought was really interesting, is the fact that, you know, the, kind of the comparison to the centaurs and humans, you know, with the Coden and the Norn. Now, you know, of course, the human and centaur thing, as you pointed out, was kind of lost in Guild Wars 1. You know, it could have been built upon, but it was really lost. And you feel like that the Coden Norn thing should be kind of brought to the front a little bit more.
Yeah, right? I don't want to see this as a lost opportunity, because with the centaur, there's this wonderful story, and you've got all of this story about Ventari and how this ties in with the Silvari and the human-centaur relations, and it wasn't there at first. It grew over the years, which was nice. But in the same way that Guild Wars 2 is what Guild Wars 1 could have been from the very beginning, had the technology and all of that been there. You know, this story of the Coden is what the Centaur story could have been for the very beginning. I feel like it should be expanded on right away, because there's so much potential there, and I don't want to see it wasted by having this wonderful lore and then having it all shoved to the back burner and just, hey, the Coden are red dots. Just kill them and don't worry about anything else.
Well, to be fair also, Jeff Grubb wasn't there at the very beginning. You know, he was brought on later, I think, in Factions. And that's something that I think he developed later, you know, based on Ventari and everything. I don't think that was there at the beginning, and he kind of built that up. Which, to me, is kind of extra impressive, because he took what was, this foundation and kind of built stories from stuff that was written before, and they didn't really know where they were going with it. So I think that that's why it wasn't there from the very beginning in Guild Wars 1.
That's actually a really good point. I didn't think about that. But he's there now.
Yes, yes.
So I just really want to see this expanded upon. I want to see all of this potential put to use right away. Because if I don't want to see it set back and say, well, you know, we've got time down the road, and we've got the time and we've got the room to expand on this down the road, so we'll just set it aside and do it later, because you've got the entire world of Tyria to work with if you want to expand on stuff later. Let's, you know, we've got this now. Let's work with it. So I really hope it doesn't go like the human and centaur conflict was in Guild Wars 1. And I think more of ArenaNet to think that, I don't think that will happen, but, you know, at the same time, you kind of look at it going, please don't do that.
I don't know. I think you pointed this out too in the character creator. You know,
yeah.
when you're creating a character, we already know that they're going to ask you questions that will mold your character and your storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it only makes sense that they would, you know, for the Norn, maybe they're going to ask, you know, what do you think of the Coden? Because we're, like you said, we already know that they're going to ask you what you think of lesser races, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So so I would imagine something like that, you know, the very kind of the way to establish the races and the relations between the races, I think that would be fleshed out. It's just a guess, you know, of course, but I would think that that would be something that they would do from the beginning.
I really hope so. I mean, if nothing else, we've got a seriously informed decision here. Because what was so cool about this to me, the fans, the community read this. Everybody's got an opinion on these guys. I mean, everybody feels really strongly. There are very few people, unless they just really dislike lore, the concept of lore anyway, very few people had the opinion of, eh, so what? Everybody genuinely feels a particular way about this race, and that's going to color character creation very, very heavily, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hope we see this sort of thing, because each race has a different question. I mean, you can't go ask a Char how they feel about the Kodim, because the Char don't care. Mm-hmm. The Char are going, who?
Well, I wonder if we're going to have each race have its own Kodim. You know what I mean? Like the Norn kind of have the Kodim as kind of their Achilles heel. Humans have the Centaurs. So, you know, I just wonder if that's going to happen with every race.
My hope.
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. And I would love to see more lore like this for each race. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm dying to see who will the Sovari have? I mean, they're the ones, they fascinate me because we know the least about them.
They're going to hate like lumberjacks, I think.
The lumberjack race.
Or there's going to be this race called Roundup, and they're just going to...
That's awesome.
Hate Roundup.
Or, I don't know, massive defoliation race.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. So it is, but no, I would just love to see them do more with this right away.
Yeah.
So there are already some people calling for it. Please let this be a playable race, which it's not, but, you know, I mean, there are some people that love these guys.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. I mean, they're bears are such a powerful animal anyway, mm-hmm. you know, and they're feared, and, you know, we go from the teddy bear to the giant, you know, black bears that scare everyone, and so I think it's such a fascinating animal that a lot of people might actually relate to them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we have that side, and then we have the people who want to maybe play the Norn so that they can fight against the might of the bears, you know, mm-hmm. at the same time. So, yeah, I can see how that would be pretty polarizing, I guess. But also at the same
time...
You did
not just make that joke.
Oh, polarizing. I didn't even get that. What is my problem?
That was bad.
You know, speaking of that, Elliot at Massively wrote the initial news on the Kodim, and in it he put the barest of something, like B-A-R-E-S-T.
Yeah.
And he didn't even say anything about it being a pun, and I read that, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if that was on purpose.
You know, I'll bet it was. Elliot's very good that way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a wicked sense of humor.
But anyway, you know what I'm saying. I mean, they literally polarize. Again, I'll pause for effect
here.
Okay.
Sorry.
And, you know, the player base. So I would imagine that that people can get excited about this. Plus, no matter really what anyone says, this is a huge, huge write-up on this race. I mean, you know me, I don't read more than 3 paragraphs, right? I mean, I can't do that. So so I have no idea what's going on here. No. No, but it's a huge, huge write-up, and it's really cool that they did so much to flesh that out, you know, right now at this point, to get us ready for that. So what I'm thinking also, like you said that in Edge of Destiny they talked a little bit about the Norn, right? Did they focus, how much of the book would you say focused on the Norn?
About the percentage you would expect. Every member of Destiny's Edge got equal time, I guess. Okay. So, you know, like 20% of the book.
Oh, okay. So what I was wondering is I just wondered if they were going to focus more on maybe a couple races per book, and then maybe the next one, you know, if they didn't focus on it enough, maybe the next one would be more about the Norn. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But maybe by that time, by the time the third book comes out, we might have more on the other, you know, unplayable races like this, too.
Right. I would hope so. There is some serious gameplay potential here. And this is the other thing that interests me. How do the Norn feel about this? Because the Norn, I mean, they view themselves as the biggest and baddest.
Yeah.
And here comes a race that's telling them, you are only the way you are because you're weak and a failure. Hmm. I mean, the Norn, and they're bigger than the Norn. And I would love to see some race-specific... I can't say quests, can I?
No. I'll have to beep that out if you do.
Oh, my gosh, I know. some race-specific... Oh, crap, I said it again. Events, dynamic events, where you've got this interaction, and I want to delve into how the Norn feel about this, and how the Coden feel about the Norn rejecting their belief system. Mm-hmm. So, and if, I mean, there's just so much potential here. What if you, at character creation, say you like the Coden? Does this make you some sort of spiritual traitor to the Norn? I don't know. There's just so much they could do with this.
It'll say, we're sorry. You cannot make a Norn at this time.
You have to go be a short little Asura. Shame on you. So I don't know. But on the other hand, the Norn, they respect strength. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There are so many ways this could go, and I hope that we as players get to delve into that.
Yeah. I'm sure we will.
And I hope so.
Yep. My Mesmer will be right there.
We have got to get that Mesmer out there. Come on.
Well, cool. Was there anything else you want to mention about the Coden before we move on to email?
I don't think so. I could probably rant and rave about them for a little bit longer, but that's, you know, those are the things that really, really interest me.
Well, you know what I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to get anyone who has some thoughts on the Coden, let us know in email or in the comments. Since I started telling people that we don't read the comments on the show, we've gotten a lot less comments and more email, which is funny. But let us know what you think about it. You know, what you think about the relation between the Norn and the Coden, how you think that's going to play out, and just, you know, your opinions. We like to hear that kind of stuff, and we'll read it.
Absolutely.
If it's an email, we'll read it on the show.
Definitely.
Speaking of which,
we have emails?
We do have emails.
My goodness.
So this first one, it says, hello, Washarbin. That's a new one. It says, I had a couple quick thoughts from listening to your latest podcast, number 31. Regarding discussing the Guild Wars books, Edge of Destiny, I was a bit disappointed in giving a non-spoiler version with a link to a review. I can understand if you would rather not create a large spoiler-tagged podcast, but I would really like to hear your guys' thoughts and discussions on it, assuming Sean reads it. Reading blogs and reviews gives a good perspective for one person, but as you guys said, the back-and-forth discussions from the roundtable were fun, too. Although it was a little funny listening to Ruby discussing the book in a non-spoiler way, with a lot of, arg, I can't talk about this. Personally, I thought the book was a very enjoyable read, riddled with bits of humor and Guild Wars goodies. That's coming from a Guild Wars fan, though, so I'm slightly biased. For the next profession reveal, I can certainly see it being the Mesmer. Although the Sharp community, and they are very sharp, have probably identified the remaining four professions, the Mesmer is the only one that seems set in stone at this point. ArenaNet might have played an evil trick on the community with the profession art. Who's to say that the guy with the two swords / daggers isn't actually a dashing chef preparing a tasty dish of sizzling Azure steak with a side of steamed spider legs?
Mm.
Thanks for the podcast and keep up the great work, Colonel.
Well, thanks for the visual.
Yeah. Okay, so the first thing, a spoilerific show. As we said, we will probably do a roundtable at some point once I read the book, so 2020, I think, probably. And then we'll all be able to, you know, sit down and talk about it more. And that will be very spoilerific. So this is kind of our pre-non-spoiler show, you know, which I guess, you know, is understandable. You'd have to, you figure that that's the way we have to do it, you know, at this point.
I think we hit them both, though. I mean, I had a spoilerific column, and we linked to that, so you can have either or.
Yep.
But a roundtable, a book roundtable would be awesome.
Yes, yes. I think that would definitely be something we need to do. And then the next part about, let's see, oh, the professions. Yeah, the Mesmer. I mean, yeah, you're preaching to the choir. It's got to be the Mesmer, right?
I guess. If we're preaching to the choir, my voice is giving out. I've seriously pretty much given up on trying to figure this out. My speculation train has run out of steam. I seriously am just, as far as the profession release goes, it's been so long. It's been over 5 months since a profession release. Mm-hmm. Over 5 months of speculation, and I'm at the point of just sitting back going, I don't even know. Just release it and move on with our lives.
Yeah. And we're halfway through January. And we were told that there was going to be one in January. So any day now. Watch, it'll be today after we record this show.
Of course, because that's, yeah.
And if it's the Mesmer, we're re-recording this entire show. Because it's just going to be Mesmer, 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 Mesmer.
But you don't need me for that.
That's true. That's true. I can just add it at the beginning, too.
Yeah, you could just record you going, eee!
Nobody wants to hear that.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, next email. Hey, Sean and Ruby, this is Sum Regis. And he puts pronounced like Sum Regis.
Okay, well, you did it right then.
I just had a few topics that I had been thinking of. First, in the roundtable episode, you guys mentioned reskinning and how the Savari look might change. What is that all about? Well, essentially what that was is they changed the look of the Savari from the original concept art. Like they showed us some of them early on, and then they reskinned it, right?
Yep.
I mean, and what we have now, and I hate to say it, I love the Savari, I want to play Savari, but they look like anime characters now. You know what I mean?
You know what it made me think of? Is that, well, and you probably didn't have these because you did G.I. Joe when you were a kid, but they make me think there's something reminiscent of Strawberry Shortcake dolls.
Oh, yeah, the big head.
Well, and I can't even put my finger on what it is because their heads are actually proportional, and I don't know if they smell like that. but there's something about the clothing in the art that just every time I look at it, that's all I can think of is the Strawberry Shortcake dolls I had when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I mean, that's as weird as it sounds, it's not really a bad thing. It's just reminiscent of that for me. So
wait, they had strawberries when you were a kid?
Man, they even had dirt when I was a kid.
Whoa.
See? I know, right? So, my kid asked me the other day if we had TV when I was a kid.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah,
thanks, honey. So, yeah, the Strawberry Shortcake dolls. I don't know why. Something about the clothing puts me in mind of Strawberry Shortcake dolls. So, I'm interested to see what they do with it and just to see what toy it reminds me of next.
Let's see. Oh, okay, the rest of this email says, second, some ideas about the next profession releases may contain spoilers. Viewer discretion is advised. Logan equals Blue Mace Lady. I think Logan would not appreciate that. With his heavy armor and the blue aura that is mentioned all the time in Edge of Destiny, he seems like the best guess. And Kaith equals Assassin / Scout Adventurer class. In Edge of Destiny, she is always the one scouting ahead, and she uses a lot of skills that resemble the Assassin. Maybe the Assassin will be the returning class, and there won't be any Mesmer in Guild Wars 2. Whoa, I gotta beep that part out.
Oh, yeah, I'd say.
I can't believe I said that. He tricked me.
Caught you off guard.
Also regarding armor, in the book, Logan starts out with light armor, but later he changes to heavy armor. Do you think that Guild Wars 2 will have the option of upgrading armor once you level, for example, being able to wear medium armor right away and then switching to heavier armor at level 30 like World of Warcraft does? Yeah, I was just going to say that's something like World of Warcraft does with the... a lot of games do it. LOTRO does that too, where you can start out with light armor, and then you have to actually gain the ability to wear heavier armor. Yeah, I mean, they haven't said anything about that, but I would imagine that that would be a pretty cool game mechanic.
Well, and this sounds like it wants to circle around to the whole Transmutation Stone discussion, but I think I think that's going to be a mechanic. I think that'll be there.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Also, one topic that I haven't heard you guys talk about too much, the dynamic weather system. I remember hearing something about it and how it might affect the environment and gameplay. I can just imagine two armies taking formation to fight each other and it's pouring. Then when the battle is over, the sun comes out like in Lord of the Rings. Any idea?
Well, there better be a rainbow.
A double rainbow, in fact.
Even a double rainbow.
Almost a triple rainbow.
Is that meme played out yet? Because I'm still getting some mileage out of that sucker.
I'm listening to the song right now in my other ear. I think, I didn't even think about that, but dynamic weather is something that does add so much to a game. I mean, it opens up role-playing possibilities. It opens up, like you said, the battle like that. It's raining, and I mean, that would be excellent. There are a few games I play now with some dynamic weather, Worm Online being one of them, and it's incredible. It adds so much. I don't want to make this all about Worm Online because we talk about it enough, but in Worm Online, to use as an example of weather, there's a part where you have to, you sail your ship on the ocean, and if there's fog, the fog just pops up. It'll get cloudy, and then it'll get foggy gradually, and then you can't see your hand in front of your face. And it adds so much to it because it makes it that much harder. Now, in Guild Wars, you're going to have, you know, your map and your compass and stuff like that, so it's not going to be as kind of ultra-realistic as Worm, but it just adds so much. So I hope that they do add stuff like that, even like snow, you know, in the Norn areas. It's going to be... The possibility is just there.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd love to see it more interactive than a lot of game mechanics we have now. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's rain, it gets muddy. Can you fall down more easily?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. In Fallen Earth, they have dynamic weather like that. You'll actually see the clouds coming, and it'll cover up the sun, and it'll get shady out. And then when it rains, you're actually, the vehicles can slip on the roads more, you know, because of the rain. So, stuff like that is really great.
See, that's awesome. I want to see that. I want to see more of that.
Yeah. Well, cool. That was the end of that email. Let's see what the next one is. This one was a big one. Hello again, Ruby and Sean. In your last two shows, you complained about enemy AI reactions to duration-based AoE and common skills to prevent it, such as snares, knockdowns, etc. The Ritualist Minion Bomber has no need for such mechanical contortions because they utilize the concept of point-blank AoE, like explosions that happen right in your face and only trigger AI once, making it impossible to run away. PBAOE has one further advantage because they only trigger once, usually damage is scaled to compensate, making a given skill viable for this purpose. I took the following build into the battle for Lion's Arch, and we completed the mission on the first try. Max out spawning power with a superior rune, slot Boon of Creation, Explosive Growth, and Spirit's Gift. Boon is for energy and self-heals, Growth is for PBAOE damage upon animation, and Spirit's Gift is for PBAOE heal and condition removal. Yes, there are PBAOE heals. Depending on a given area's mission's availability of exploitable corpses, you may wish to bring Jagged Bones or Aura of the Lich. Jagged Bones makes your minions last longer and can drop the bleeding condition on an enemy. Finish the first half of your build with the Drachner Spawning Staff, though any staff with a plus 20% enchantment mod is fine.
Okay. Huh.
That's a little build there for you for the Battle of Lion's Arch. And Animate Bone Minions, he says, triggers the three spawning power enchantments twice. It doubles the heals, double the PBAOE. Did you forget that spawning power gives them 64% more health? These beefed up minions help this build work by making enemies clump around to beat on them. Death Nova is the one skill on this bar that requires hard work over time to develop skill, in the words of Jackie Chan in Forbidden Kingdom. You can offload Nova and Jagged Bones onto your heroes, that's fine too. In addition to a PB AoE, it's an AoE poison condition. And then he's got a little bit here on Putrid Bile and Necrosis, which they actually complete that build. He says, Putrid Bile drops a degen on an enemy and makes them explode upon death for an enemy-centered PBAOE. Necrosis is the gas pedal of this build. If you don't want to wait for several flavors of PBAOE, a few kinds of degen and eight minions gnawing on their shins. If you're bringing a condition, a hex and necrosis anyways, some people take Discord, although with only 12 in Death Magic, it's a personal choice. For equipment, you can do just fine with 2020 Death Wand / Focus set. At the end here, he has some ideas for cross-profession combos for this Ritualist Minion Bomber. It says, Earth Prayers Dervish. You get Death Nova and Signet of Pious Light. Regardless of what happens, everyone else is happy. With a Heal Monk, you get Duena's Sorrow and lots of minions or dervishes dying, which is better than Heal Party. With necromancers, it says, who needs energy management with all these minions and dervishes dying?
No kidding.
Frenzy / Mending Warriors. He says, damn it, stop putting Death Nova on me. What do I look like, a dervish? For paragons, forward my troops. And normal AoE, keep them body blocked for me, please. Thanks. Searing Flames, poisoned, bleeding, and now they're on fire.
Yay.
And then he says, there's more optional skills and hero builds you can bring, which I detail in my thread in Guild Wars Guru, but this email is already too long. And then he has a, we'll put this in the show notes, but it's his build code, and then a link to it. So, okay. There you go.
Neat.
We used to do a segment on the original Guildcast about skills and builds, and we used to talk about, you know, good builds to use here and there. And so that's why I wanted to read this. You know, it's a good Ritualist Minion Bomber build. And you can definitely check out the link that we'll put in the show notes that will be kind of explain that more if you didn't, you know, get what I was reading.
If that makes that's a little bit difficult to explain. It helps with builds if you see it.
Yeah.
If you can look at the bar. So, yeah, we'll add that.
Okay, so this next one, he says, so when would you hate to see Guild Wars 2 come out? That's a good question. He says, strange question, right? But here's what I'm thinking. I would really hate for Guild Wars 2 to come out anywhere near the launch of Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword or The Elder Scrolls V. I do love Guild Wars, but if it comes out anywhere near those releases, I'll probably just buy it and hardly play it for a few months.
Ouch.
So how about you guys? When would you hate to see Guild Wars 2 come out? Either for fear of missing it due to some other release or missing some other release due to it because you know it's going to happen, he put in all caps.
Oh my gosh. You know, I have put my vote in more than once for, well, I put my vote in for a launch date announcement at PAX Prime, I believe. I would hate to see it come out right around there because if you've gone to conventions like PAX, if you've gone to those huge ones, you know how completely dead tired you are and usually ill when you come home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to feel like playing anything around August, September, October, so.
Wait, you're already setting up a sick day, aren't you? You're like,
this is a little awkward.
I'm really sick today.
I think I have.
Guild Wars just released. Oh, yeah. Oh, it did? What? Oh, I didn't even know I was so sick.
And it's just, you know, I have the bubonic plague and a tornado came through my house and I lost an arm and I just can't work. I'm sorry.
H1N1, all that stuff. Yeah, for me, I would hate to see it launch, but this is not going to happen. A launch at the same time as Star Wars The Old Republic, because those are the two most anticipated games for next year. It's definitely not going to happen, though, because Star Wars The Old Republic is supposed to launch in, like, May, somewhere around there. March, April, May, somewhere in spring. Mm-hmm. So there's no way in heck that Guild Wars 2 is launching that early.
No.
So I really think, I mean, if they pass over all the holiday time, you know, they not release like the same time that a WoW expansion is coming out, which usually happens in November or December.
Yeah.
I think if they wait till next year, right around about this time, that I think they'll be fine. So yeah, I would say not Star Wars Star Wars Galaxies, not Star Wars The Old Republic, not a World of Warcraft expansion, and I think they'll be good. Yeah,
I just want it. I just want it. I will make it work. I don't care.
Well, if there's a Fable 4 also, which I think they're supposed to be, if they launch it at the same time as that, that's going to be hard.
Okay, you know what? here's my thing.
Okay.
If we could get SOTOR to launch a little bit later than planned, and Guild Wars 2 to a launch actually right around there, that would just be the bee's knees for me, because my whole family will be playing SOTOR, and they'll leave me alone.
That's true.
And I can play Guild Wars 2.
That's true. I wonder if that would work.
I don't know. Could ArenaNet and BioWare, could they just get together and make this happen for me? Also, I do plan to have the plague around May, just letting you know.
Right. Yeah, you and just about everybody else at Massively, right?
Yeah.
Okay, actually, this is another one. This is from Nathan again, and he writes back, and he says, hey, I haven't read the first book yet. Could it work to read the second first? Crazy, right? But that's the way the story goes. Yeah, he's talking about the time progression there. Do you think that could work to read the second book first?
Yeah, actually it could.
I mean, they're separate enough, right? In the storylines and everything?
Yeah, I could. Oh, I should go back and read them again in reverse order. And I'll let you know.
Yeah, I think because, from what I know of the first one, I mean, I read the first one, but from what I know of the second one in relation to that, it seems like there's the same core characters are there kind of in the background, but the main characters are different, right?
Yeah, the main characters are different, but the stories are separate enough where you could read them in opposite order.
Cool. Okay, next email. Oh, there are two of them here together. Okay. He says, hi, guys. Thanks for the awesome podcast. I just finished listening to episode 31, and I wanted to comment on the email that said that there are 3 to 4 class reveals in Edge of Destiny. I'm currently about 160 pages into the book, and I can see 3 already. Spoilers ahoy. Uh-oh. Spoilers. Sorry. Everyone, spoilers. Okay. The dragon spawn's mind control magic seems pretty mesmerish to me. We all know the mesmer is an inevitable reveal anyway. Right, Sean? Right. Logan uses defensive and healing magic in the book. He's always creating blue magic shields during fights, and he heals Ritlock's broken wrist. My guess is that he is the blue Mace Lady class. There you go, there's another one for that. The Paladin type. I think, as someone else said, that this class will be called Guardian. Logan is referred to as a Guardian, lowercase g, several times in the book. There you go, Guardian. That's a real good possibility, I think. Kaith is clearly an assassin, or whatever they're going to call assassins in Guild Wars 2. Mm-hmm. Personally, I hope they just stick to calling them assassins. She dual-wields daggers and always knows the precise weak points to strike on enemies. She basically rushes in, does burst damage, and gets out. That's definitely assassin-style gameplay. That's my take on it. Kimball in Chicago. And then writes back a little response to this right after that and says, spoiler if Sean still hasn't read the book, just got to the part where Queen Jenna is a mesmer, so yeah, mesmers for sure. Mm-hmm. Is that a giant spoiler?
I don't think so.
Not giant?
I think a bigger shock would be if they said there weren't going to be mesmers at this point.
Yeah. That would be, I just don't even do that to me.
No, that would be awful.
And this is essentially what's funny about that email is essentially mirroring the one from before, you know, saying Kaith is an assassin and Logan is the blue mace lady, quote unquote. And Guardian, that sounds like a really good name for it. You know, kind of a healer / warrior kind of a thing.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, mending warriors were so big in Guild Wars, you know, it was such a popular especially at the beginning, you know, it's such a big thing.
Yeah, it's funny that it's almost a joke now.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
How much the game has changed over the years.
I like to bring all mending and then just ping my bar. Be like, is this okay? But, yeah. Okay, so this next email, this is our last email here. This is from Ken from Chicago, and he says, hi, Sean and Ruby. On another excellent episode of Guildcast last week, a listener wrote in wondering how Guild Wars 2 could possibly work without a tank. I assumed he was one of the relatively new people to have heard the buzz about Guild Wars 2 and have missed the ArenaNet's blog entries about how and why they were getting rid of the Holy Trinity on MMOs. But while you speculated about how the game might work, you overlooked one extremely valuable resource, valuable source of information, Ruby. Wait, what? She is one of the rare...
I haven't seen this email yet. So.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
She is one of the rare people on the planet who already has played Guild Wars 2 without a traditional tank.
Yes.
So, Ruby, what was it like playing an MMO in combat without a traditional tank?
You know, it wasn't... I hate to cop out. I don't want to sound like I'm copping out, but but it wasn't really set up like that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
There was just so much... I mean, people were running in every direction. There was so much going on that... It just didn't really work like that. And maybe that's your answer. Mm-hmm.
So it's not really something you even thought about.
No, it just didn't come up. I mean, you go through the tutorial, and of course on the spur of the moment I'm forgetting the name of the tutorial, but you go through the tutorial, and there are literally NPCs and other players and enemies running in every direction. And you just look around and you run for the closest thing that you see that you need to do. And you do it. And if someone else happens to already be on that, working on it, they're almost, in the tutorial, there almost wasn't even time to look and say, okay, they're doing this, which means I need to do this. Mm. I went over there and I started spamming fire spells. And then I ran off and saved a villager and kept going. Now I will, I think I've told this story before, but I did play a high level... I guess I was a char warrior. It was so embarrassing that I've blocked a lot of it. I did play high level, and I took on the big dragon lieutenant. There was at PAX, they had the biggest 3D capable screen in the country. Do you remember hearing about that?
Yep.
Well, they were using it for Guild Wars 2 demos. So you put on the cool battery-powered 3D glasses, and you go over, and you could play Guild Wars. And what was going on was that Martin Kirstein was, I guess, emceeing that, while one of the other ArenaNet staffers was taking on this dragon with a warrior character. So they get about the last 5-10 minutes of the last demo on Sunday. And I think they were just tired and didn't want to screw with it anymore. Because Martin says into the microphone, and I think you should step away and let Ruby finish the demo. I went, ah, what? So I go up there, and you know how I feel about Melee characters anyway.
Yeah.
So here's a game that I've barely played, and a character class that I hate and am bad at. And I couldn't do it. I mean, I literally could not function.
Collapsed on the floor?
Well, no, well, I could function just fine. I mean, my blush function was working just fine. I was all kinds of colors of red. And I could hear people laughing behind me.
Oh, jeez.
But that is seriously, that's my only experience. That's the only experience I've had with anything even resembling a frontline character. And it was ugly. I could not get in there and attack the thing, and the ArenaNet people that are there they're trying to be nice, and they're like, so,
They're like, you're a caster, aren't you?
Oh my gosh, they're like, you maybe back up a little, and then, you know, I'd be on the ground, and I had no clue what happened.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, my extreme ineptitude didn't seem to affect anybody else. I mean, everybody else was kind of doing their thing. And that, to me, spoke to the setup of this game in that even without the Holy Trinity, everybody's got their own roles, and provided they're not a complete idiot like I was, they can fulfill that. They can fulfill that without a traditional tank, without a traditional healer, without traditional DPS. Yeah. And they took the dragon down. I mean, I was more of a hindrance at that point.
But you're the cheerleader, right?
Dude, I was under a dragon foot, flat on my back with, like, my head buried in a swamp. This sounds like hyperbole. I seriously had no clue what was happening. I didn't know where my character was. I didn't understand where I was supposed to be. I didn't understand what I was supposed to hit.
See, I warned you about doing all those drugs before that, didn't I?
You gave me the drugs.
Oh, that's right.
What are you doing? Okay. All right, I wasn't supposed to tell anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But the point of this really long and embarrassing story is that even without the Holy Trinity and without a traditional take, everybody around me was kicking butt. Mm-hmm. And this was a formidable foe. So they took the thing down. So from what little I've seen, it works.
So what you're saying essentially is, if you were the tank in that situation, which you weren't because they don't have the tank, that they could do just fine without you.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's good to hear. Yeah. And I think, you know, when I think about it, and it comes right down to it, that's kind of the point of the whole redoing of the classes and the skill bar and everything and the skills, you know, where there's not one if you were the healer and this was Guild Wars 1 and you were, you know, playing over in the swamp with a dragon's foot or whatever you're doing,
then, I don't know.
Like, the whole rest of the party would wipe, right? I mean, if that was the case. So it seems like this time you have people who can kind of stand on their own. They have their own healing skills, their own tanking abilities, and their own you know, range weapon skills and their own up close skill. I mean, everything is included in each class. Then I think that works out well. It seems like it works out well.
It does. I mean, seriously, for all the good I did, you could have sat a piece of fruit on that table and, like, had the pair playing the game for all the good I did, and it was still fine. The only person, I think, if you're that stupid, the only person you're hurting is yourself. And everyone else is still doing just fine. Which is, that is a really, really smart innovation in MMO gaming.
Yeah.
Because we've all had some jerk trying to grief the group and screw up the mission. And I don't think that will work here.
That's interesting to think about that. Like, games, are they, you know, MMOs in general, are they getting more towards self-reliance in classes and you know, no more depending on certain parts of the whole, you know, the whole thing to work together? And, yeah, I think maybe roundtable discussion? I don't know.
That would be an awesome roundtable discussion. Because, honestly, you know what I'm thinking of is a Fissure or Woe run that I did a while back, and our tank was a kid. I mean, he was like a young tank, maybe 14 years old. And he got mad because he didn't feel like we were paying enough attention to him. So he started griefing the run, and he would like go and pull, he would go and pull enemies to us, and he was trying to make us wipe. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that is impossible here.
That's good. That's good to hear, because I hate that stuff.
Well, yeah, and we've all been through it, and yeah. I think the people at ArenaNet have probably been through it in games that they've played, and they're actively trying to keep that from happening.
Yeah. That's cool.
So I hope that answered. That was a lot of talk out of me, and I'm sorry, and I hope I answered your question.
I think you did. I think it made sense.
Yeah.
Well, although we still don't know.
Out of the usual.
Well, I guess we'll wrap this up with a little discussion on the next roundtable episode, and this will be because of the way what month is this? January. The way January is laid out, we have 5 Saturdays, so this will be in 3 weeks. Actually, February. Let's see, be the 4th. We'll record this, or maybe the 5th. We'll see. We'll get that together. But it will be that weekend of the 4th and 5th of February. And that's when we will have the next roundtable show. So before that, we'll get together with some people and we'll figure this out in the meantime. But we have 3 weeks to get this ready. What I need from people who want to participate is, first of all, let me tell you the topic. The topic will be persistent worlds versus instance worlds. Now, this is a classic argument, you know, a classic debate. But I want to start this out kind of basic, and I want to make sure that it's something that a lot of people can feel passionately about and talk about. So if you would be interested in talking about that on the roundtable show, we want to get maybe 3-4 other people. We won't be able to have everyone on, but if you've ever submitted an email to me before saying that you're interested in the roundtable show, I'll need you to, you know, each time to let me know, clear the slate and let me know each time if you're interested in that particular roundtable. So for this one, email me a short MP3 of you just talking about, you know, kind of your stance on persistent versus instance. I want to be able to hear, you know, if your sound equipment is good and things like that. You know, I don't want to really have to deal with a lot of technical issues. So we want to make sure that we get all this kind of straightened out before we record. So, yeah, little MP3 on, it doesn't have to, you know, like a minute, like nothing big. I just want to know your stance and things like that, because I would like to kind of make it persistent versus instanced, you know, or something like that, and we can get both sides of it. We'll pick a few from each side and have the whole round table. I think that would work. Email me that at Sean, Shawn, @guildcast.com, and I'll listen to those. But let's get those in by, let's say, January 24th. So you get in your submissions, you know, if you want to be in the next roundtable, by January 24th, and then that will give me about a week to kind of go through them and schedule and see when we can set something up for recording. So that should work. Again, Sean at guildcast.com, send me your MP3 submissions if you want to be on the next roundtable, which is persistent versus instanced worlds. And I think that's about it. It should be a good roundtable.
I cannot wait. I want to hear who tries to get in on this.
Yeah.
Because we've got some great listeners. We have some incredibly smart listeners. They're going to be fascinating to talk to.
Yeah, definitely.
Wait, can I be on?
Oh, wait. What did you just say about smart and
crap? All right, fine. Can I be back on the next week?
Of course you can be on.
Thanks.
Okay, well, I guess that'll do it for the show then. If you want to send a general email, you can also send that to Sean at guildcast.com, Shawn, or Ruby, Rubi, at guildcast.com. Also, we have our Twitter, where we talk about, you know, we announce every new episode when it comes out, and we also have a Facebook group. We also have our main page, guildcast.com, where we have the show notes for each episode. And that's about it, right?
That sounds good to me. I think that was plenty.
Cool. Okay. So until next week, until the next Mesmer reveal, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
Talk to you then.